Welcome to Gideon Guys. I'm Johnny Hedgepeth.
And I'm Travis Walsh.
And this is the podcast where Travis and I break down the TV show DC's Legends of Tomorrow, my favorite show, and this is the first time Travis is watching it. I'm just going to, I think we'll stop saying that now. I think this was the last time. I think people don't have to get the idea of the show.
I think we can find a way to say it quicker. That's all. Just, a veteran and a new fan.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, there we go. Like, oh, this is behind it. Oh, we're peeling the curtain back a little bit for
the you guys are getting listener. To see how they make the, what is it?
How they make the sausage.
Yeah.
This is how they make the sausage.
Yeah.
Okay, but today's episode is season one, episode six. And once again, another part of the show is the fact that season one is a bit of a train wreck. It eventually becomes what I think is the best show on TV.
That's good, and, yeah.
But this episode is Star City 2046.
Mm-hmm.
Considered by a few people I know one of the bright points of season one. At least some people.
Really? Are these people like Arrow fans, maybe?
Yeah, Pete for one, who does world class. Okay. In fact, you know what? Pete, that's it. That's the only one.
Okay. We got to have him on one of these days.
That's definitely coming up. Coming down the drain pipe, and that's not an expression, but you know,
itsy bitsy spider. You know how we always call Pete the itsy bitsy spider.
Yeah, that's it.
It's coming down the drain pipe.
Yeah, he's coming down the drain pipe to
up
join
comes
us.
Comes the sun, wash away that rain, baby.
To join us on Gideon Guys in the future. Give it. Here's the net.
That's fucking hilarious.
Here's
I
the,
like it.
The Netflix. I'm gonna make that happen. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is: when the Wave Rider lands in 2046, Rip and the crew get a bleak vision of Star City's future, and Sarah searches for the vanished Oliver Queen. Now, before we get any further, I want to ask you, because you don't watch any of these shows. This one sort of. What initial questions do you have about this universe?
I didn't know Smoke. I didn't know the name of Smoke. But I eventually figured out who that guy was, because that's a villain, a very well-known villain.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. He's always thought DC's Bullseye, right? Is that a safe thing? But maybe more assassin.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. But he was also Deathstroke. Also, like, became a good guy, you know, for a long time. Back in the early 90s, when they turned every cool bad guy into a good guy. Yeah. Yeah, they did
the
that
bullseye with some whispers of Snake Eyes. Huh? From
a little bit.
More in betweener though. We got to think of somebody else. Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
But evil. But in fact, he was played by. See, this is his son in the future. Mm-hmm. This is Deathstroke's son, who in the comics was the Ravager.
Okay. I was going to ask if am I supposed to know who this is when that mask? I mean, we're skipping ahead quite a bit here. But
that's okay. No, you don't need to know who the actor was.
It seemed to feel like there's supposed to be some sort of reveal. At least that's the way it felt to me. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, Pete, I did not care for this episode. I'd be curious to hear what.
You're not the only one, because we got a new feature coming up in the middle of the show. And you're going to. Trust me, it's gold. Yeah. I found it. Cool. I found it earlier. It's gold.
Okay. But
here's the thing. The Legends have crashed in 2046. As we saw in the last episode, they're walking through a typical, you know, dystopian future. You know how it's dystopian? It's dystopian?
Because it's dark and there's lots of fire.
Lots of fire. Lots of burning trash cans.
Yeah. And it's always dark. You know. It's constantly dark.
And everything's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
And they run into Green Arrow. But as we saw, that's not Oliver Queen. This is an African-American gentleman. So they picks up from there.
Mm-hmm.
And they run into Green Arrow, and he ain't having anything to do with him. Starts firing arrows. Not going to talk at all.
Yes. Less talk, more arrows. That's a Green Arrow motto.
Hey, Ollie. Because they think it's Ollie at first. He's like, never heard of you. And then I'm not Ollie, you know, but he knows who Ollie is.
Yeah. 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 Come on. Anyhow. Like, at least give him like the, you know, like, there could have at least been something there. It's like, no, they know too much already.
But I do like the little bit of dialogue as the arrows are flying down on the legends, and they're like, "That's not Oliver Queen." He's like, "Shoots, looks like him." Snart's like, "Shoots arrows like him."
Yes.
And Jack says something like, "Well, I'm not waiting around to get shish kebab by this guy." And Rory goes, "Kid's got a point. Let's hide and kill him."
Yes, yes. Like,
because Rory needs to kill as we eat. Yeah. Boy, I got to kill somebody soon. Yeah. I haven't killed anyone in a long time.
Yeah.
So
we got the shootout with Future Arrow.
Yeah. So it's the thing is, this is a future that hasn't been settled yet. This is what happens if they don't defeat Vandal Savage,
mm-hmm.
which they don't make very clear until halfway through the show, I thought. But
yeah,
but they do say the future.
I thought that for that. So they basically replayed the last 2 minutes of the last episode as the teaser. Like, and that is so soft, man. And also that was a teaser without a tease, because it was like shoots of them, and it's just like, and now we're in the middle of a battle, right? Like, mm-hmm. like you didn't pay off. First of all, you didn't pay off them. I'm like, oh my God, is somebody going to get killed? Did somebody take an arrow in the chest? No, he blew up the thing behind them, and it led to them getting scared and running back to the wave rider.
Yeah, running back to the ship. Retreat, you know.
Totally. And right away, Rip starts talking time conundrums. And I'll tell you right here, Johnny, they started to lose me early. They're starting to lose me early.
Uh-oh. You're committed to this, though. That's the thing. You're committed to this project, so you're going to have to deal
with
a lot of shit.
Yeah.
There's one thing to remember, though, again. When I made a joke about these being children's shows, they're meant to be shows that are enjoyed by the whole family for the most part. Like, Arrow could get a little violent at times, but The Flash is a little bit more lighthearted. Legends becomes the most lighthearted show. But at all points, these are still comic books. They're comic books that are meant to appeal to the whole family.
That whole exchange you explained with everybody cracking wise while he's shooting at them and stuff is a perfect example of what you're explaining.
Boy, there's some shit in this. Gideon's broken, Travis, and do you remember what she needed? I have it down here. Do you remember
I'll tell you what I wrote down. I'm like, this dialogue about the tech is rough. It is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Go ahead, tell me what was wrong with her.
Gideon needs a neuromorphic interface. Neuromorphic interface. And Ray pops up. He's like, hey, you're back in 2016. We were working on a neuromorphic interface at Palmer Tech that's probably ready now. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
It's just so stupid.
So stupid. I love it. Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah, there you go. We got a MacGuffin. We got your MacGuffin here. We're one of the MacGuffins we need for this one.
Yep. Now, who do you call from the Legends when you need to go steal something? Snart and Rory. So Rip, Snart, and Rory are going to go steal it, but Sarah's insisting on going with them. But before we get into the meat of the episode, warts and all, but the main plot line is Star City and the Green Arrow and Mick and Rory. But first, let's just talk about, well, that's going on the ship. Come and knock on my door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the Hawk Girl is his and his and his. Three's company too.
Wop, 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 wop.
Oh, boy.
That was completely unrehearsed. We did not discuss that at all.
Not at all, man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. High five.
I felt.
Do the old the wrestling.
Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz pat on the back. There you go. Yeah. There's your wrestling shit for this episode. So Jax wants to hook up. He wants to get together with Kendra. He's into her. And he's upset because Ray and Kendra are hitting it off. And they've got some jobs to do to fix shit to get ready for the neuromorphic interface. And Jax is like, well, maybe me and you could work on it. And Stein's like, oh, no, have it be Ray and her. Come on, Jax, we're partners. And he's like, oh, cock blocked again by
yeah,
Ray.
That's it. I have it written down here. Jax gets cock blocked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jax is upset. He's upset that Ray and Kendra are hitting it off. And Stein knows because he can feel it psychically because of the psychic connection they share. Mm-hmm. And Jax says, well, I understand, Gray. I'm competing against a guy with a super suit and a 4,000-year-old soulmate, and I'm just a mechanic.
What the fuck?
Yo, have some confidence. That's what the egghead tells him.
Yes.
You need confidence.
Yeah.
And so the next time he's with her, he's showing that confidence because she's complimenting him. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're pretty great. Now, it's amazing that you've figured out how to work on this spaceship. And he goes, I am pretty amazing, aren't I? I was like, that line ever worked.
Yeah.
This but here's so the thing.
Cringe, man.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Professor Stein, he pulls the Three's Company bit.
Yes.
Because he's trying to tell Ray to back off. That would be a good idea to back off. That Kendra's in him, but he let it slip that Kendra was interested in him, or so he thought.
Mm.
And now Ray's into her. Oh no!
Now you know what I thought about what you said the other day. Yeah, maybe I should go for it with Kendra. What?
Yeah, and when that scene happens, Stein's in the hallway of the ship, and he talks to Jax. Jax walks away. Ray walks towards him right past him and goes, hey, by the way, Professor, I think I am going to hit that. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
You can just see Richard Kind, like that whole like look to the camera, like that kind of mug when someone says, want to go to bed, Jack? That's from the episode where they go to Big Bear, the cabin. You remember that one?
No, I was never a huge...
No, all that. Like, I mean, I don't know. It was just always on. We had a friend who directed for our directing projects for 12th grade drama. He did it that episode, and I played Larry, and I really overdid it. I really overdid it just because it was playing well in the cheap seats, which is like every seat in drama class, you know?
So Ray does ask her out, and she shuts him down. She's like, hey. 3 months ago, and I was like, I know. She didn't say it, but I was like, oh, here we go. Yes. That was a barista.
Are you familiar with the company Starbucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also, at one point, like, Carter's dead, right? Why not? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, he is. He's buried in Germany under a stone that says Carter, as we know.
Yeah, I mean, but, aren't you like feeling like kind of extra fragile and like open right now? Uh-huh. Like, he's just trying everything.
Oh boy! So that happens. That's the C plot on here. You know.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that out of the way. That was definitely that took up, gosh, probably 7 minutes of this episode. total.
Yeah. And it's all for the payoff of a joke at the end of the show.
Which was?
It's all of it was just so, the payoff was good. The joke was good because we'll get to it.
Okay.
Gideon gets to be funny.
Yeah.
But here we are, Star City 2046, Sarah, Rip, Snart, and Rory. And they're walking through. And Rory goes,
so let me ask you a question. I could kill people here, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of itchy. I need to kill somebody quick.
Oh man.
Go ahead. No. Like I'm getting up to where like they sneak onto that bus.
That's right where we're at.
Yeah. Hey. Like but it seemed like we just kind of cut to them. Like at first they're just kind of walking around and went back to whatever
they got attacked. Like a motorcycle gang.
Yeah. They were mid attack, right? We didn't see the start of the attack, did we?
No, I think we did. They were walking through, and Snart goes to Sarah. I seem to recall your father was a police captain. Well, he did a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. And then the motorcycle gang attacks, because that's something you have in the inner city. Oh, motorcycle gang.
Post-apocalyptic, of course. That's like that's who's running the show, or the motorcycle gangs. One would imagine.
So they're hiding in the bus. Arrok's coming out to save the day. Sarah runs out. Rip runs out. And Snart and Rory. I'm gonna go steal some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to do some stealing.
Yeah, because
they love stealing.
Yeah, and just getting to know the lay of the land. I like that too. That matches the characters a lot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because then as they go out, they get, you know, accosted by, you know, the criminal element at this point. They try to mug them, which is funny. With Heatwave,
yeah,
he's fighting. He goes, "All right, we're gonna fight," and he gets punched. He shakes it off, and he punches the guy, and he shakes it off. And he's like, "Fuck it!" And boom, kills him.
Yeah,
he just shoots him with his
flame. The old Raiders of the Lost Ark joke.
Yeah, and then takes his fur coat.
Yeah,
which I liked. I mean,
and then starts to lack the pussy.
Just oh yeah. Yeah, in 2046 Star City, coats like that get the
and a fancy red gun. That I think that goes a long way too. Mm-hmm. But that that's the indicator of leader of the.
So Sarah finds Connor. And he tells her that Ollie was dead in the uprising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because he's got the Arrow voice changer. That's something in Arrow. That when he's Arrow, he's got the voice like this. And then he turns it off when he's being serious. Yeah. Stephen Amell doesn't even need the special effect. He can just do it.
Interesting.
But he does it here. He's like, you know, I'm going to save you, fine, so what? You know, it's none of your business, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she's like, where's Oliver Queen? And bloop, he's like, he's dead. He just turns it off. He's dead in the uprising. And then we meet what we think is the Terminator, Deathstroke the Terminator, Slade.
Yes.
The reveal is when he takes the helmet off is that you're not supposed to know him, is that you thought it was going to be the actor who played him. Maybe.
Okay, old. Okay. But why do we know he's Deathstroke the Terminator at this point?
Because you could tell by the way the armor looks.
Okay, okay. Because yeah. I recognized more like the orange. It wasn't as distinctly orange and
you're right. This is blue. The blue version. This is the blue version, but it's still the same makeup of it.
How many versions of Deathstroke have there been in television and cinema to date? Is my question to you, Johnny Hitchbith.
Let's see.
You got your Will Smith, right?
No.
Wasn't he Deathstroke in Suicide Squad?
No, he was Deadshot.
Deadshot, that's right. But I remember seeing this old guy at the end of Justice League.
Yes, that one, because he was supposed to be within their Legion of Doom or whatever that before they decided those movies are suck a dick.
I had that on in the background. I was not expecting much. I was very pleasantly surprised by Justice League.
Really?
I love the post-credit sequence with the race between the two. I don't know. Maybe I was ignoring it just enough to not, I don't know. Like, I remember when Superman first comes back and they're all fighting against him. Like, that was a really great scene, I thought.
Mm. I hated it.
And I also, you know who I fucking think is great is fucking Ben Affleck as Batman.
I'll give you this. I will give this the Ben Affleck Batman as an older guy Batman. Yeah. I don't mind that much, but I saw that movie. I thought it was the worst. I hate it. I can't stand Ezra Miller's Flash. I hate the outfit.
He did seem like he felt more DCW than DC.
No,
cinematic. You know what I mean. Like, I say this as my pre Legends knowledge of what DCW was. Right, he felt like a TV star. He didn't feel like a movie star. Everyone else felt like a movie star. Right, and it's not meant to slander the existing Flash. He felt minor. He felt like somebody who he didn't feel like everybody else was stepping up. Like Gal Gadot is just goodness fucking gracious.
But even then, with her, like Wonder Woman was so good and it felt great, and then this one, it's like, and now because it's directed by this guy, look at all the upskirt shots of her ass. And like, but here's the thing: the DCW shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not that indicative of them because Legends isn't the new idea, but like Flash gets the Flash perfectly. Yeah. That it's perfect from the book to the screen.
And that's not like, I, and that's not what I'm.
I know. Yeah.
Like
I know.
With that actor.
Look,
like
I get
that,
very goddamn.
I know. I can tell. I can tell. I loved Shazam. I love Shazam. That's
I loved Shazam too. I thought Shazam Aquaman was so stupid, but I loved it because it embraced how stupid it is. But Shazam, I thought was legitimately the best of all these new DC movies by far.
Yeah, had a good amount of heart for sure. I think that it had warts and stuff. This is a whole other convo, man. I'd love to talk about Shazam. I watched it on a plane, but Shumgay, my friend.
Oh, hey, it's all comic books.
I want to get back to talking about this sweet, sweet jacket getting all the.
Well, that it's great because next up we're at where the criminals hang out, and it's at some ballroom, and I have to ask.
Yeah.
You know where this place is?
I didn't recognize it. No. Okay. I think this looked like a place they just dressed up, actually. I don't know if it was this could have just easily been a set.
Okay. Well, so Mick, he's happy. He's in heaven.
Yes.
He's in
yes.
heaven here. This is a criminal's wet dream. It's Christmas every day. And he's naming his crew.
Look at these chandeliers. They're gorgeous.
Anyways,
but he's
the interior design is to die for. Real eye for the classics, Art Deco, but still fresh, you know.
Mick's naming his new crew. He's like, "Yo, you're Fonzie. You, you're Kanicki, and that one's the Gorch."
Yes.
So, but. Very good. Yeah, that was for you. Nice, anyone who doesn't you know what the Gorch is, just look it up and listen to it. The funniest things I've ever heard. But Snart wants to stop Savage. He's like, okay, this has been fun. Let's get back to what we're here to do. But they go to the bunker. We'll get back to it because the Mick, again, everything with Wentworth Miller is the best part of the episode to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory, watching those two. But here, they go to the bunker. The bunker is the name of the Green Arrow's Arrow Cave, but they call it the bunker.
Yeah.
And they get in there, and this was cool. They show there's a cybernetic arm.
Yeah. That was a good, like, yes. So where was that?
Well, in the bunker.
This is in this bunker, right?
Yeah, where they're trying to find Oliver. They're trying to find some information about something.
Yeah. There's all sorts of weird armor around them there too, right?
Yeah, that's the headquarters, the Green Arrow's headquarters back in the day.
Yep.
And the cybernetic armor, and they find Ollie. Ollie's alive. And wow, that old man makeup they have on Steve.
I've got it written down here. Makeup, baby.
Wow. It is something.
The funniest use of, like, especially TV aging makeup is never effective. I remember when my wife was pregnant, we watched so much of Star Trek The Next Generation for whatever reason, like that, like some people crave weird things. We just would watch that.
That's great.
And there's an early episode where a guy who you can tell, like, he first appears with old person makeup. You're not supposed to know that he's aged. It's just like, okay, something's going to happen with this person because he's wearing a fucking plastic bag on his face. Like, you know, that's what I always think of when I see old man makeup in TV. And yeah, this was it wasn't the worst, but hey, Stephen Amell, you know, did his best underneath that.
He's good. I know when he started, he didn't have a lot of background. He might have been a model even for all I remember.
Yeah.
But he got really, really good. And at this point, he was great, even with the silly makeup and the fake.
Mm-hmm.
The fake gray.
What's where do you see Stephen Amell 10 years from now?
Gosh,
good question, eh?
Oh no, here I got it. He's gonna be on yet another show on CBS that I don't watch, but old people watch. You know,
like going the David Boreanaz route.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
When they get to NCIS Vancouver, he'll have a job.
Very good, man. This is good. We're answering the tough questions today.
Mm-hmm. Well, they run into Ollie.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sarah, 30 years ago, you and Ray went off on a spaceship and we never saw you again. And then they basically, and then eventually the city fell because they didn't have all of their defenders. And he tells them, and this is a bit I doubt, I don't know, maybe you picked up on it. One thing they love to do, especially on Arrow, when they're naming any kind of address, we'll meet you at the corner of such and such and such. Here, they've got to go to a warehouse to get this, the fucking MacGuffin. And yeah. He tells them it's at the warehouse at Adams and O'Neill.
Okay. Well, I get it now that you said it. I didn't pick it up at the time yet, but I know the very famous DC creators, Neil Adams. O'Neill would have been the writer at the time.
Yeah, Denny O'Neill and I think it's Denny O'Neill. Yeah, and Neil Adams. But they were the artist and writer for that famous run.
With the drug addiction?
Yes. The socially conscious Green Lantern, Green Arrow run.
Yeah, I can see the cover right now.
Where that's where they really turned Green Arrow into an actual character.
Yeah, yeah.
Because before that, he was Batman with blonde hair. Yeah. That was it.
Can we say a touchstone of the Silver Age?
Yes.
Yeah. Or is that like that's technically, is that like kind of a more, it's kind of separate from, no, it's part of the Silver Age, right? Like that, but there was something like that Go ahead.
No, hold on. Actually, I could say this. It's considered what's called the Bronze Age.
Yeah. That's right.
Because I received for Christmas this past year a wonderful book all about the history of DC, the Bronze Age. It's a big, giant picture book, coffee table book that's fantastic.
And that would have...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what's... I was remembering this, because I knew Golden Age... you can always tell where Golden Age starts and Silver Age starts. They have those key touchstone things. But Bronze was never as clear when I was way into comics.
Because it
hadn't been as clearly as identified as it had been more. But there's other ages, like Atomic Age. And so I did a great art unit. I should show you some of the work my students did, where they had to combine two different ages into their final piece. It was really cool. But yeah, I was learning about so Bronze is more when it started to get more socially conscious.
Yeah, things just started changing.
I'm thinking of Giant Size X-Men, right?
You know, it's funny is here's the thing. I've never heard Marvel refer to it as the Bronze Age. It seems to be something that DC
but they would uses. But when I hear people talking about the Bronze Age, they include that amazing the two without the comics code. They are because that's always included right next to whenever anyone talks about that Green Arrow story, they always talk about that that story in Amazing Two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I mean?
With Harry Osborn on drugs.
Yeah. I can see that, some of that. Oh man, that art's so great too. That John Romita scene.
That wasn't John Romita. That was Gil Kane.
Was it Gil Kane at that point?
Who I know how great Gil Kane was. Yeah. Gil Kane was drawing when Harry Osborn was tripping balls on
top of us on the roof or something.
Well, no, he's at home. There's a brother. There's a brother on top of a roof taking acid. He's like, I can fly, man. Yes. And Spider-Man saves him and even though Spider-Man is wanted by the cops at this time, him and the cops have a little oh, this fucking drugs, man.
Adams and O'Neill Street. See what happens when you see what happens, DC Legends of Tomorrow. See that rabbit hole you just opened up?
Oh boy, I just see what happens, Greg Berlanti, when you just throw in one little Easter egg for nerds and we can just go off on it for an hour. But Deathstroke comes to recruit all the gangs to go kill Sarah and Rip and Green Arrow. Connor Hawke, by the way, because he's not, I forgot to mention, he's John Diggle's, it doesn't matter. You'll eventually meet Diggle. He was Green Arrow's sidekick.
You think I don't know Diggle? No, I don't know Diggle.
I don't know. Did you never watch
this? No, I don't know Diggle.
John Diggle. It's like the oddest name for like a super badass character. Diggle. Yeah. John Diggle.
That sounds like a good segment for on our show. Do you know Diggle or you don't know Diggle?
You don't know Diggle.
Is there another episode of You Don't Know Diggle?
That's the spinoff episode we do about one character from Green Arrow. We'll only talk about Diggle, the parts where Diggle's in the show. Okay, nothing else. Okay, no Stephen Amell.
Okay.
They recruit and they say, we're going to kill them. So Snart's like, come on, we got to go, Mick. You know, they're going to kill our friends. Mm-hmm. And Mick's like, since when are they our friends? And he's like, you tell me, you and Raymond seem to get pretty tight back in Russia. Look, it was jail. You know how it is. You're only there for 48 hours. I can't. That's a long time.
Listen, have you seen him with the shirt off?
Yeah, he's gorgeous. But then he even gets that joke in because he says, I've never been tight with anybody. Is that a euphemism, tight? But then there's a nice little part where he's like, time to go, man. And you ain't the boss of me. Actually, I am. Which, because he is.
Uh-huh.
In their criminal partnership, he's the boss.
Huh.
So this is where we're going to take a breath.
Okay.
And why don't you tell us all about the newest Yours, Mine, and the Truth you got out.
I will. The newest episode out is on, that I had mentioned that we were recording last week, is on Three Sides to Every Story, which is kind of the basis of the whole project I've been going into here. It's what the title, where it comes from. It went really, really well. I'm really proud of it. Got to some interesting areas, and it's starting to recognize, I'm starting to learn that this is a bit of like free therapy for me. And the next one I'm recording tomorrow with an album, which is as like I do not have the same affection for and has not aged as well. It's been a bit more of a chore to get through it, to get through the album itself. Not to say they weren't doing good things at the time. They just all of a sudden started following trends. They're trying to keep up and they couldn't. But that was, so I'm looking forward to that. It's still, and I'm looking forward to where things are going beyond that. I've still got some other great people to come and do that. So that's Yours, Mine, the Truth. I'm excited about that. Keep looking for that, my friends. I want to talk to you about this Cheatham son of a bitch who Kelly is talking to us about from a World Class that I watched today. Ron Cheatham, what the heck? The latest episode of World Class, which is dropping soon. This is not from the episode that's out now. I guess it will be out before by the time this drops. So.
Yeah, so it came out this evening.
Oh, okay. Good. Ron Cheatham. Yeah. Like, where did this guy come from?
So real quick, on World Cast, where we watch all the old World Class Championship Wrestling, this guy just appeared. He was just someone we've never heard of named Ron Cheatham, which is like the best name for a bad guy in wrestling.
I know. Cheatham. Like, he should have been part of a trios team of lawyers with Dewey and Howe.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. Like, lawyer gimmick. Six-man tag, Dewey.
Well, that's a Three Stooges gag, and this guy could have hung with him because he does some bumping around in the ropes that we've never seen before. He's a master of... Is he an acrobat who was out of work and wrestled three matches and then disappeared off the face of the earth? The guy's
fascinating.
I think there's three things that Kelly found, and there's only two bits of footage of this guy. He's like,
that's lost, so cool. That's so cool. I'm really excited to hear you guys talk about that. Lost, I was expecting there to be. It's totally. I was expecting there to be like the wow. I've just this is a guy. I just another person I haven't heard of, and I've got to dig into his catalog. And
there's not much catalog to speak of.
Really cool. Yeah, I'm excited to hear you guys talk about that. We should also promote our latest episode of Mystery Titans Theater. Mm-hmm. That is on YouTube. I shared a link on Twitter.
It was so much fun.
Such a blast. An awesome surprise of a Boston card from 1985, just under a year earlier than the one we had done a few weeks earlier. Such a good time. As I said to Kelly, I'm hoping we do more of those. On the regular, for sure.
Me too. That was a hoot.
And it's really cool to hear a response, because like that gives me vindication, man. Because Kelly knows how much I loved watching those, dude. And like I've been nonstop watching them. Even you guys had stopped doing it for like 2 or 3 years. And to hear all these just different groups of people not only commenting on their new ones but the old ones too, is like, yeah, I'm like, I told you guys, you had something there, you got something there. I'm just glad to grab onto that shit.
We ripped it off from Joel Hodgson,
of course, right? Mystery Science. But I mean, I think
down to the name.
Here's what I think. As we said in the first episode that we did, is if you're watching these on your own right now, there's something wrong with you. You're watching them just on your own from start to finish. But through doing it through this, we are picking up on, we wouldn't have seen that great Tony Garea and Anvil match. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't expect the Anvil to have had such a good match, and some of the other stuff that followed. Even if we had to waft through the crap to get there. So, I mean, I think this is the best way to kind of figure out how to get to find these kind of hidden gems that we're kind of stumbling upon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Mystery Titan Theater, guys. Keep an eye out.
All right, right now, IMDb Curious. I decided, you know, what's going on in IMDb about this show? Mm-hmm. I've never really looked into that sort of thing. And I've looked into a lot, and this is going to be a recurring thing. See what's out there. And there's a little bit of trivia here and there. You know, the nothing that we're not already talking about with about Neal Adams.
Sure.
So I went to the reviews. These are, you know, viewer reviews. And there's one person really likes it. Some people are down on it. And this is a 6 stars out of 10 review I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
Buckle up. I started watching Legends of Tomorrow for Wentworth Miller, who is always an asset and thus refines the show also. But besides him, I really enjoyed this team and this show for the first 5 episodes, that is. Then came the big letdown. How can the writers take ideas from that sick pervert, Frank Miller? I know Sin City was successful. This does not mean it is good quality entertainment. It is just sick and disgusting, and Eli Roth's success with his torture porn movies shows that a big part of the audience is sick too. That does not mean it is desirable to aim for this target group just for the reasons of TV ratings and take Arrow's arm, and as far as I understood, the chance of his son being his successor just to please the African-American audience whining about supposedly too few black roles? Don't get me wrong. I welcome black superheroes. But if the original creators want his son to follow his footsteps and keeping his arm, why butcher these visions? Just introduce a new black character. I was so in favor of DC because of Arrow and Flash, but since Marvel would never do this to their heroes, Stan Lee would never accept Spider-Man's arm being hacked off, I have to reconsider changing sides again. Why butcher great visions, ideas just to please a bloodlusty audience and let down the other viewers? I was planning on buying some Arrow merchandise, but I could save this money now since I do not want to be reminded of what fate they are planning for him. Well, there is the possibility that this was only a possible, not the eventual future, and I can only hope this is what will happen, and it was only a bad, cruel dream of confused authors with displaced priorities.
Displaced priorities. That's the title of that rant.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. Especially Frank Miller. Yeah. Frank Miller is a disgusting pervert.
Yeah.
Because what he's referring to is Green Arrow loses his arm in The Dark Knight Returns. That's what you... The Dark Knight Returns, old Oliver Queen is missing an arm that Superman took out of him. So that was an homage.
And that's what I think this guy was meant to, I think Oliver Queen is meant to kind of look like that style. I think they were at least playing some sort of an homage to that. whatever. The bloodlusty...
Eli Roth, Eli Roth.
Bloodlusty, people wanting, I just imagine that one, that fan he's imagining exists. So oh man, if Oliver Queen walks onto the screen missing a fucking arm, I'm going to be so fucking hard. if they've cut that fucking arm off of Oliver Queen, oh my God, that is so fucking hot. What is this guy expecting? So bizarre. So bizarre.
Oh,
he's totally, he's showing his cards. Goodness gracious.
Yeah,
Dave, as soon as he starts talking about, don't get me wrong, about
African American heroes. Because he missed the whole thing. Because yes, in the comic books, Connor Hawke was Green Arrow's son, and he was white. In the TV show, Connor Hawke is Diggle's son, and he's black. And wow, that just, that really set him off. That and Eli Roth.
Eli Roth.
Oh boy. Yuck. So anyway, goddamn, that was fun.
I can imagine what that guy looks like.
Oh, me too. But Sarah doesn't really understand all this because she's like, we need to go out there and help. So yeah, they go, they're stealing the device. Sarah finds her her battle sticks. They were there for some reason. You know, that's where they store. It was Felicity's. Felicity's was Green Arrow's wife. It was her warehouse. So that's where all the stuff is. Anywho, so Deathstroke shows up. There's a fight. Captain Cold and Heatwave save the day. Mm-hmm. They look around and Connor's gone. And Sarah's like, "Where's Connor?" And Rip Hunter, do you remember this line of dialogue? You well now. Rip Hunter, the camera comes in on him hard, and he looks amazingly upset. He goes, "He's been taken."
Yes.
It's, dude, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you know, this guy we just met, the guy who, like, we teased was trying to kill us, and now,
Or yeah, how about the guy who, in the next scene, he's like, "This is, none of this is real, Sarah. Yeah. You know, don't worry, this is a potential future." He, like, mm-hmm, he was very concerned about him being,
yes,
taken.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is a mess. Yeah, I thought this whole episode, I thought, was a real big mess.
So Snart and Rory are having a disagreement about all, because, you know, Rory's like, "What the fuck are you going on?" This is the best part, the whole evolution of Captain Cold and Rory not being able to handle it. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Sounds like a lot of competition to stay here, Mick." And eventually Snart just knocks him out with a gun and puts him in the brig. And he explains to him, he's like, "Here's how it works, that it always has. Mm-hmm. I'm the brains,
you're the muscle.
You're the muscle."
I was going to ask, like, so he did hit him with the gun there? Because I thought that kind of just felt like a straight-up punch-out, knocked him out. That was a little easy, too. Anyways,
we kind of walked past that. He hit him with the cold gun.
Okay.
But he couldn't hit him too hard with it because his props are expensive.
Yeah, I guess.
So what Snart says to me, he's like, "This is why we need to take out Savage. He's like, this is a mortal guy. We'll be the two baddest sons of bitches of all time."
Yeah.
And
I like this conflict. Yeah. This is the best part of this episode. This developing conflict between these two.
Yes. No, yes. Yeah. But when he says, "You know what I want?" He's, "Yes, to see the world burn." "Lay a hand on me again, you'll burn too." Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, this is good. Watching these two get to act together in anything, be it this or Prison Break, whatever, which is also kind of pulpy and silly. Mm-hmm. But Sarah's fighting with Riff about all this shit. She said, "We need to go out and help." And Riff, with his time travel logic that doesn't make any sense, because he's like, "Changing the future is even worse than changing the past. Since when? Since when is that a thing? Isn't that the point of this mission? Isn't that why you're trying to save your family?" Which Sarah brings up, and he's like, "Don't you play that card with me." And she says, "Go to hell." And he's, "Most likely." It's like fun acting with nonsense dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
None of it makes any sense at all.
Yeah. But really losing me at this point, man. I've got to get through this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the other thing too. It's really weird that they wrapped up the Shitty Threes Company episode about 2/3 of the way through the episode. They didn't, like, it was done like, okay, I guess everything's gonna be all right, and they didn't touch on it. Anyways, they do kind of do one more last little wrap up at the end, but. This was a mess. This was a mess. This episode.
Because Gideon tells him. Stein has a little talk. Stein has a little talk with Rip to explain, "Okay, to her, this is real. This is where she's from. You know, her father is one of the murdered people here." And then Gideon, he's like, "Yes, I know. That's why I gave her an extra hour to go off on the mission, because she runs off to try to save Connor Hawke, because he's being executed." And Gideon lets them know. He's like, "Captain, the execution of Connor Hawke is gathering the criminal population right by our ship. You know, that's convenient." And so let's just cut to the execution where Connor Hawke, they're going to behead him. And he's got his head on on the rock or whatever.
Yeah.
He's also got his quiver and his arrows, like where the sword would have to come down to cut his neck.
It's bizarre. Just one thing after another.
And so the good guys show up. Sarah distracts him. Ollie shows up. It's a cool little moment when Ollie shows up.
Yeah. That was great. Arrow's got a new arm. He's kicking butt.
Yeah, he's got his cybernetic arm. He's kicking ass. The team shows up. Everyone's running away.
Excellent. I love that. The standoff between Ollie and Deathstroke was great.
Yeah, that was good stuff. He's like, yeah, good action. You got me. You know.
Yep.
And Mick screams at all his former gang members, cowards all. I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. Cowards all. And then the arrows together kill Wilson, which I thought was kind of cool. Connor shot him in the neck and Green and Oliver shoved it in and killed him. I'm like, that was cool. Because see, Green Arrow will kill every now and then on these shows if he has to. He's the character who will kill. Hmm. And he passes on the name to Connor. And he tells Sarah wants to go ahead.
Yeah, no, that guy Sarah wants to stay. Yeah, like, I don't want you to be alone. He's like, I'm not alone. Yeah, that's a nice touch.
But he tells her, you know, finish your mission. I know how important it is.
Yeah.
So here they are. They're getting ready to go off, and they don't even give you a teaser on where they're going next on this finish. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah thanks Rip, you know, for letting her do that. And he Rip's learned a lesson apparently. Yeah. But he says, all right, Gideon, now that Mr. Palmer and Mr. Jefferson have repaired you. Gideon gets in the line. Actually, Captain, Miss Saunders did all the work while the two gentlemen were competing for her.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's very nice. I was thinking we missed an opportunity to map out the when he got shot down. What's a heat wave line at the end? There's a good tease.
Yes, Mick is looking out over the Star City. And Ray comes up, and this is a little bit. This is one of the things I like too. This showing the evolution of the relationship between Ray and Mick, which becomes very important on this show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna miss this place." And the Eternal Boy Scout just pats him on the shoulder. He goes, "Yeah, they really seem like your kind of people, Mick." Pats him on the shoulder. He says, "I don't know who my people are anymore," and which is nice because how do you take that? Is he, you know? Is it just because he's upset that Captain Cold now wants to be a hero?
And you were supposed to be like, this is supposed to be my guy. Yeah.
Because he thought this was all going to be about robbing the future.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. This obviously is the storyline that runs throughout the rest of the next two seasons.
The only like truly interesting thing to come out of this episode, I thought. But I really wanted to say, like, there was a, like, when Jax was built up the confidence and walked into. Walks in on Adam shooting Kendra, asking Kendra out and getting shot down. And I really wanted them to cut to Brandon Routh doing the Scotty from Boogie Nights. So.
Fuck it, idiot! Fuck it, idiot! Fuck it, idiot! Fuck it, idiot! All right, fuck it, idiot! On that note, thanks for listening to Gideon, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Adios.